From the KTOL Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Alaska state government is increasingly failing to keep up with requirements in state and federal law. That's according to the state's nonpartisan auditor, who delivered her findings to a group of lawmakers last week. Legislative auditor Chris Curtis says she identified dozens of accounting and compliance issues in her agency's most recent audit. Those range from the Department of Corrections overspending its budget to the Division of Public Assistance failing to process SNAP and Medicaid applications on time. Curtis told the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee that the issue has gotten progressively worse over the past decade. All told, Curtis says her team identified 85 issues in the 2024 fiscal year audit. That's about double what her team found a decade ago. And she offers a few reasons why.
What we're seeing is vacancies, we're seeing turnover, we're seeing poor training, we're seeing a lack of written procedures.
Employee turnover and hiring have been areas of particular interest for legislators seeking to reinstitute a pension system for state employees. Among the issues Curtis spotlighted are errors in the state's procurement process. She says her team pulled samples of state purchases across various departments and found that roughly a third failed to comply with state rules. Curtis says that means I either didn't follow state law or didn't maintain the documentation backing up those purchases.
I think one of the biggest concerns is making sure the state is obtaining the best possible price.
Curtis found the state also failed to bill the federal government for nearly $280 million in pandemic-era federal aid funding in a timely manner. And that means the state lost out on more than $9 million worth of interest it could have earned in the meantime. Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration disputes some of the auditor's findings, chalking them up to differences in interpreting state and federal law. Curtis says the report is meant to help state agencies improve and spotlight areas that lawmakers can help them do so. Thousands of Alaskans who rely on the federal marketplace for health insurance are experiencing sticker shock as they apply for coverage for the coming year. That's because key healthcare subsidies that have helped millions of Americans afford their insurance are set to expire. As Congress continues debating over whether or not to extend the tax credits, some Juneau residents are growing increasingly worried about how the sharp premium hikes will hit their wallets and their access to life-saving healthcare. KTOO's Yvonne Crumry reports.
David Elrod books performers for the Crystal Saloon in downtown Juneau. He's worked in bars for nearly 20 years, and he's never had a bar job that offered health insurance. Right now, he pays about $60 a month for a basic plan through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. When he went to apply for his 2026 plan, he got quite a shock. The number on the screen said $1,030 a month.
It was pretty scary to see, and that's not even including dental, which I'm obviously going to skip this year, so.
He said the plan still had a $2,500 deductible, the amount he would have to pay each year before insurance kicks in.
And this is not like a Cadillac health insurance plan.
He isn't the only one seeing a massive jump in their premiums. Federal subsidies that keep plans in the healthcare marketplace affordable are set to expire if Congress doesn't act to extend them by the end of the year. In fact, the question of whether or not to extend the subsidies was the fundamental debate behind the recent record-breaking government shutdown. The state estimates that 27,000 Alaskans buy insurance through the Affordable Care Act. KFF Health News reports that nationwide, enrollees who benefit from federal subsidies will see monthly payments increase on average by 114% if federal subsidies disappear. But Alaskans could see much higher jumps, likely causing some to opt out of insurance. For Elrod, though, going without insurance isn't a good option. He has a condition that requires expensive medication to prevent blood clots from forming.
So if I don't take this medication, blood clots will come back. They will kill me. I'm going to try to cut back to one pill a day instead of two pills a day. It's those are the decisions that I'm having to make right now.
For people in Juneau struggling to afford the healthcare they need, Heidi Adams says she and her team may be able to help. Adams is a care navigator with Jamie Health and Wellness.
Everyone's situation is so very different. And so by coming in, we can assist them with connecting. But also, if we can't meet those needs, who might be able to in a way that's affordable or easily accessible?
Jamie is a health nonprofit in Juneau. It provides primary care services and behavioral health treatment, regardless of insurance. With Alaska having some of the highest healthcare costs in the nation, care is often already out of reach for many Juneau residents. Now, with subsidies potentially ending and upcoming restrictions to Medicaid, Adams says she thinks the nonprofit will see an increase in people seeking medical care.
We can assume we're going to see a much larger population coming in because they can't afford it any other way.
open enrollment on the federal marketplace lasts until January 15th. For coverage that begins with the new year, the deadline is even sooner, on December 15th. In the meantime, Elrod said he's waiting as long as he can to finish his application in the hopes that something changes. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery.
And earlier this month, the Juneau School District unilaterally announced it was entering arbitration with its teachers union after more than 9 months of contract negotiations. The move took the union by surprise and led educators to send a public message to the Juneau School Board, KTOL reports. More than 70 educators and community members packed into the Thunder Mountain Middle School library last week during the Juneau School District School Board meeting. During public testimony, teachers voiced their frustrations about contract negotiations.
We're now on the precipice of a true disaster. Dozens of your most experienced educators are waiting to see if they should stay or not. Support your teachers, because if you do, you're supporting your students. And that's your mission statement.
Today, teachers are leaving and fewer are coming. And this isn't just a human cost, it's a financial one.
That was Amy Lloyd, Ellen Canterbury, and Jeffrey Wyatt, who are all teachers for the district. Ock Bay Elementary teacher Kelly Harvey also spoke.
It is not fair. It is not right. And you all have the power to solve this. If you do not choose to respect your educators, this is what will happen.
Harvey then stood up and began walking out of the library. A wave of more than 70 teachers silently followed the mock walkout. The teachers' most recent contract ended at the end of June, but teachers are still working under its terms. The union and the district started negotiations for a new contract in February. Both parties declared an impasse in July and entered mediation, a voluntary process where a neutral third party facilitates discussions between both parties. The parties had three mediation sessions before the mediator, a federal employee, was furloughed. During the government shutdown, the district escalated the negotiation process and announced on its website earlier this month that it was initiating advisory arbitration with the union. Harvey, who also co-chairs the union's negotiation support team, says the union was completely blindsided by the district's announcement and that arbitration had not been discussed with the union prior.
We do not feel that we're at arbitration. We were still working with our mediator. They were furloughed, so we were forced to kind of stop. But we've been working. We have a proposal.
Harvey says in her 27 years with the district, she's never seen the district move forward with arbitration without discussing it with the union. In response to the district's unilateral announcement, the union sent a letter saying it had not yet reached the point of arbitration. In contract negotiations, the main sticking points for the teachers include salaries, health insurance, and preparation time for middle school teachers, Harvey says. The union's latest proposal, which is for 2 years, increases salaries by 8% for the first year and 9% for the second year. It also increases the district's monthly contribution to health insurance premiums by $25 for the first year and by another $271 for the second year. In contrast, the district's one-year offer increases salaries by 3% and only includes a $10 increase to insurance contributions each month. It also cuts down how much time middle school teachers have to prepare lessons by 200 minutes each week. The union is insured through the Public Employee Health Trust, and Harvey says insurance premiums have increased a lot for teachers, with some on family plans paying $800 more each month compared to last school year.
Nationally, right, health insurance has gone up exponentially over the years. And contributions just have not kept up with that.
The district has increased its monthly contribution toward health insurance by $85 since 2016. Juneau School District Superintendent Frank Hauser says the union's latest proposal would cost the district about $12 million over the next 2 years, rather than the $1.84 million for 1 year with its previous offer. He says the district reached the right time to move forward with arbitration.
We have spent almost 100 hours negotiating, and the time has come to schedule an advisory arbitration as required by Alaska statute, and we're moving forward with that.
During an advisory arbitration, a neutral third party evaluates both parties' proposals and issues a recommendation on what to do. Hauser says arbitration is not a negative step and can help each side articulate what their position is.
When negotiations is difficult, and it always is when the resources are limited, it frequently takes some kind of external deadline or external accountability. Otherwise, we'd be negotiating forever to no effect.
The district and union aren't required to take the arbitrator's recommendation, and Harvey with the union says it could open the door for the union to strike if they still can't settle on a contract. But the union wants to avoid that at all costs. The union and the district are scheduled to meet for another bargaining session on November 25th. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep. And we have a correction on the hydroelectric appeal story we ran on Friday. Alaska Electric Light and Power has requested the cases be consolidated by the Superior Court of Alaska. The cases have not already been consolidated. An Alaska Marine Lines barge that was taking on water off the coast of British Columbia has continued its journey south to Seattle. The cargo ship coming from Alaska was spotted floating lower than normal last week near Bella Bella, about 260 miles south of Ketchikan. According to an email from Alaska Marine Lines Director of Marketing Ryan Dixon, the barge was damaged during transit but was, quote, secure and not sinking. On Tuesday, the company announced that a second barge was sent to offload some of its cargo. As of Sunday, both were en route to Seattle. In the email, Dixon said the barge did not contain bulk cargo or petroleum products. It also did not contain groceries or supplies for Southeast Alaska, which Dixon said will not cause supply chain disruptions for the region. And taking a look at the weather in Juneau, it is currently 36 degrees with light rain. And tonight, expect rain and snow showers with a low around 33 and a southeast wind around 10 miles per hour. Looking into the rest of this week going into Thanksgiving, we'll have highs in the low to mid 30s and lows in the upper 20s to lower 30s with snow in the forecast. This is KTOO. For more news, head to ktoo.org. Thanks for tuning in.